Well, hello there, friends. My name is Liz. I'm so glad you can join us here on Advanced Studio Classroom. And with me in the studio, I have my friends here, Ellen and Steve.
Hi, everybody.
All right. We're back again for day two of our business article. What have we been talking about?
We've been talking about the language industry and the boom in jobs.
Okay. It is February 3rd, and if you have your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine with you, we're on page 11. Now, let's do a quick recap. Since we're now on day two of this article, let's talk about what we talked about day one, yesterday. What did we say?
Okay, real quick, jumping back, we learned that the language industry, especially translation and interpretation, if you have those skills, you can make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You probably will always have a job.
Mm-hmm.
This industry is what we would say is recession-proof, and a recession is a period of reduced economic activity that we've probably all experienced to some extent within the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
except if you're in this industry and your wages are going up. So it's a very desirable job to be in, but we've also learned that there are demands, high demands, if you're in this job, so it's not easy to do it.
Okay, thank you, Steve. High demands, like what, Ellen?
Well, there are time demands.
Mm-hmm.
So to do this job, you need to be very good at your job, but
mm-hmm.
very quick too.
Mm-hmm.
Turnaround time, or the time in which you need to complete your job, is usually within one business day,
mm-hmm.
As we see Ms. Clemente in our article here. She
mm-hmm.
had to send things around the world
mm-hmm.
and have it back to her client.
Right. When it comes to translation work, it's not just about books. We're dealing with documents for various kinds of companies, and they will have these expectations. We need this back by tomorrow. Now, we found out that it did go around the world in her case,
mm-hmm.
her work, that is. It went from where? From France to the
Virginia,
U.S.
Yeah.
Virginia, USA. And then from the USA over to Australia, and then from Australia back to France. All in one day. So that is pretty demanding. I'm not sure if I would be interested in a job like that, expected to keep, you know, producing the stuff and returning it to my clients like that.
Yeah, but in my mind, mm-hmm. I picture like Clemente in her house, probably still in her pajamas, drinking coffee. You know, she sits down to the computer.
Right.
You know, she has that ability to relax, and she doesn't have to get in her car and commute to work and get stuck in traffic. So in that many ways, it's a very desirable job. But again, there are things that you trade off. There's a lot of pressure, for example.
Right. Now, I also want to point out in Clemente's situation, she's 55.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, I know one major headache they have when it comes to looking for jobs is the age issue. Because a lot of companies, for whatever reason, they would find people, younger staff, to be more desirable for whatever reason it might be. And sometimes I find, at least among some of my older friends, that they worry about that because as years go by, they may feel that they're no longer desirable. They're no longer the kinds of people that their company would want them, you know. And so in Clemente's situation, she's working at home. No one's going to ever see her, really. And, well, at least need to meet her in a very public sort of way. And
mm-hmm.
as long as she gets her documents all taken care of and translated properly and sent back, things are fine. All right. Well, we also mentioned that it's not just about businesses. This job also could get you involved in, like, medical stuff as well as war zones. And so we can see it's quite useful in various areas, various markets. And as we mentioned earlier, it is definitely a good job to have because it does pay you well. Six-digit figures is something that, U.S. dollars, that is, six-digit figures, something that you, I'm not saying it is expected for everybody in the job industry, but in this case, it's not unheard of. So, yeah, definitely a very attractive one, I would say. Now, there's a word that we kept using yesterday, and I'd like to kind of go over again. The word is recession. Steve, you want to help us out with the word
sure.
recession?
Sure, yeah. Again, it's a period of reduced economic activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the world may have experienced a recession. Is that a fair thing to say? Like the last 10 years?
The global economy.
Mm-hmm. There was reduced economic activity during that time. A recession is not as serious as a depression.
Mm-hmm.
We all know and remember the depression from the 1920s and 30s, which was huge in scale.
Mm-hmm.
A recession is going towards that, but not that severe.
Okay, thank you. So the interesting thing is because of the recession, a lot of companies are put in a position to reevaluate, reconsider how they do business. A lot of companies merge, they come together, they get bought over. We see all this kind of stuff happening all the time. We read about it in newspaper, but the language industry, especially with interpreters and translators, for some reason, they're still in demand. It continues to grow. In fact, I remember from yesterday's section of the article, the number of jobs doubled in the past 10 years. So we'll find out more in today's section of the article and find out a little bit more about why it's doing so well. Again, we're on page 11. We will read the first part of the first column.
Multinational corporations, U.S. demographic changes, and the internet economy raise the need for translated and localized information. Companies increasingly want their content tailored to the tongue of the town, even between dialects of the same language. As more people have access to the worldwide economy, that's going to drive more commerce. And that's going to drive more language services, said Bill Rivers, executive director of the National Council for Language and International Studies. Ted Wozniak expected to earn a lower middle class wage when he started as a freelance translator 15 years ago. Wozniak, 57, translates German financial documents such as Adidas's earnings report into English. For the past 10 years, his salary has hovered around $100,000, he said. I expected to make a mediocre, medium living, said Wozniak, the Translators Association treasurer who lives in Texas. I know several translators that are in the six figures.
Thank you, Brandon, for the reading. All right, let's begin with the first paragraph of today's reading. Multinational corporations, U.S. demographic changes, and the internet economy. These three are the reasons why there's this rise in the need for translated and localized information. Okay, let's touch a little bit on this. Multinational corporations.
Well, earlier we talked about multilingual speakers, multi again just meaning more than one, and national being more than one nation is involved, and corporations being businesses. So these are just businesses that do, that work around the world. So we have, in the reading we heard Adidas is a multinational company because it has stores all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. demographic is just talking about the changes in the diversity of the United States population.
Mm-hmm.
And then the internet, of course, has brought the world much closer together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Especially the internet economy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the U.S. demographic changes, that's something that's ongoing. You continue to have different groups immigrating to America, and that will always bring changes. So maybe a certain year you might see a higher percentage of a certain people group, and a few years later another people group. And so because of that, society will have the need to make sure that the right information gets passed along.
Yeah, for many years in the U.S., right up until the 1950s and 60s, most of the immigrants into the U.S. were from Western Europe, like Italy and Germany and so forth. And that's changed a lot today. There's a lot of immigration coming from Asia.
Mm-hmm,
lots of Koreans, Vietnamese, Chinese, and don't forget, of course, all of the Latinos that are coming from Mexico and South America. So the face of the United States is morphing quite a bit And all of those languages are coming into the United States and being used.
Right. I know for myself, just whenever I fly into the U.S. and just waiting in line at customs sometimes, I would keep, you know, I would hear again and again, I need a Korean representative, counter 25. Mm-hmm. Vietnamese representative needed. And so, again, these different interpreters would be needed because you have these visitors coming into America or immigrants, and their English skills perhaps aren't quite there yet to be able to make sure that there's clear communication. And so these people aren't needed. And that's one example of how interpreters are in growing demand. Okay, now, and then internet economy. Well, basically, online shopping. I don't know about you guys. Are you guys involved with a lot of online shopping?
Yes.
I've done it a little bit, not a lot, but some. And I know that a lot of the web pages now, they have that button we've talked about that says translate into English or translate into a different language, whatever language you want really is available at the bottom. You just click it, and it may not be perfect, but it's something that is being done to make more money.
Right. Well, earlier before our recording, we had this discussion on how there are some websites that do try to make it friendly for users of various nationalities, and sometimes you can see how they could benefit from a professional translator. And certain sites have done very well because they did hire a very good translator. And so that's another example of how the internet economy has made it possible for translators to have a chance to show their services. All right. Well, moving on, we have a comment here. As more people have access to the worldwide economy, what is that going to drive more of, Ellen?
Well, it's going to drive people to more commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Commerce just meaning business. And then, of course, that's going to drive more language services. So the more business there is, the more language services there will need to be. Okay. And as we said earlier, you know, a lot of business is of course one community or one person to another. So of course you want to speak, in so many words, the same language,
right?
To be talking the same language, to be able to communicate your ideas and what services you provide.
Right. Well, another way to say language is tongue, right, Steve?
Yeah, I like that. Line 3, I believe, companies increasingly want their content tailored to the tongue of the town. And that's a play off another idiom that we have in English called the talk of the town. And the talk of the town is something, maybe an event or a person who has done something noteworthy or famous. And so the authors changed that a little bit from talk to tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a joke.
Right. Besides Bill Rivers, we have another guy getting mentioned here. Moving on to line 12. Okay, Bill Rivers, he was the executive director of the National Council for Language and International Studies, but now we have Ted Wozniak. Now, tell us a little bit about Ted Wozniak.
Well, Ted is a freelance translator, and we see here that when he first began being a translator, he expected only to earn about a lower to middle class wage, which in the United States generally has been about $50,000 to $60,000 a year. And he translates German financial documents for Adidas.
Interesting. He started out thinking he was going to have a lower middle class wage, but now he's been doing it for 15 years, and now he's doing this, and it's not a lower middle class wage, is it, Steve?
No, it's interesting that he started this not knowing how lucrative it could be.
Right.
That's one reason people, I think, would get into the business, because they want to make money.
Right.
So probably Ted, he spoke German already, and he didn't invest a lot of extra time into learning German. He already had this skill, and he thought he'd try it. Then he realizes, hey, I'm making a lot more money than I ever thought I could.
Right.
So he's kind of a happy guy. A freelance worker is someone who works independently.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's very attractive to those people who don't want to have a boss over them, that want the freedom to stay home if they're sick, or if their kids have a ball game, they can go to the ball game. And it's really a nice thing to be a freelance worker. But at the same time, you have to be very motivated and responsible, because if you're not, your business could fall apart very quickly.
Right. You don't have a guaranteed salary. You don't have a paycheck coming to you for sure at the end of every month. It's up to you to make sure that there's always money coming in.
Yeah, and just off of what Steve was saying, I think it works well for both the companies that these freelancers work for mm-hmm. and also the freelancers. Freelance just being this idea that, as Steve mentioned, they don't have a boss. They don't mm-hmm. officially work for anybody. Mm-hmm. Companies, this is a great thing for companies because in the United States, companies have to provide benefits and salaries to official workers. So
right.
if they have freelancers, you paid for the work you do.
Right.
You don't have to pay them to sit there when you don't have any work for them.
Right.
So it works for both the companies and, you know, the individuals that do it.
That's true. Good point. I find it interesting. He started out doing all this 15 years ago, but then for the last 10 years, his salary has hovered around $100,000, he said. Okay, so after 5 years, he found himself doing quite well. So
he found his pot of gold.
Yes. And again, as I mentioned earlier, well, actually I mentioned yesterday, the age issue. He's 57. He's doing quite well. For a lot of people, they would be worried as they're getting to that point. Some companies would start considering whether they should hire someone younger to take their place. But in his situation, because he's experienced, I would imagine Adidas would appreciate his services even more.
Yeah, I think in this industry, age is actually a benefit. If you're older, you have more experience
right.
with the language.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that works well for older people.
Right. So that makes it more secure. And Wozniak makes a comment at the end. What does he say, Steve?
He says he expected when he got into the business to just, you know, make a good living, a medium living, a mediocre mm-hmm. living. And that's a good word to know. It just means not very good, so-so, maybe right in the middle, but just below it.
Right, right. Could be better, but it's not bad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
right.
he is living in Texas, and he's not the only one. He says he knows how many other people?
He knows several, so that just means more than two translators that are in the six figures. So again, as we mentioned earlier, $100,000 and above would be a six-figure salary.
Mm-hmm. So he's not alone. This is not a unique situation.
It's not unique, but I get the impression it's kind of not common either. It's available for
right.
people. It's attainable,
mm-hmm.
but you know, he's the treasurer mm-hmm. for this organization, this mm-hmm. association, and he knows several. So if he knew a lot, he would have said, I know a lot. But
mm-hmm.
several gives the indication to me that, yeah, it happens, but it could be more.
Right. So it is possible if you decide to get involved in this industry, if you want to give it a try, it is possible for you to join Wozniak here and his friends and make this six-figure, well, yeah, six-figure. It's no small amount, but it's not common, I would say. So, well, so what does it take? We've been talking about how it's not an easy job, but it is a nice job in many ways. There are pluses and there are minuses, pros and cons, but what does it take to get involved? There are some things to think about, and that's what this next section is all about, going beyond bilingualism.
Going beyond bilingualism, qualifications for translators who work with text and interpreters who work with spoken language are not as simple as they may seem. Speaking two languages does not mean a person can work in the language service industry, experts said. Learning how to translate or interpret is a separate skill beyond knowing the language. Furthermore, the most successful translators and interpreters maintain a specialty, such as legal documents, quarterly earnings reports, or an industry expertise. Technological advances may cut jobs in some industries, but online translation services like Google Translate actually raise demand for human translators and interpreters, experts said. Even Google doesn't use Google Translate for their business documents, said Clementi. Online sales companies also drive demand for translation. It's things like eBay and Amazon, said Rivers, the language lobbyist, because they have a presence everywhere, and they're interacting with customers in their language. That really drives behind-the-scenes work in translation and localization.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Liz. I'm in the studio with Ellen and Steve. We've been discussing our business article for the month, and it's actually about the language industry, about interpreting and translating, and how it's actually a very good job if you're involved in it. But there are some challenges, and it's not easy for, nor is it something that anybody could just jump in and try. What does it say, Steve?
Yeah, if you want, you see the $100,000 and you think, oh, I could probably try that. I'd like to try that and make that money. Yeah, you need to know that there's a lot more to it. Qualifications, for example, who work with the spoken language, they're not simple. Mm-hmm. And this job is not as simple as it seems. Speaking two languages, just because you might be good at Spanish or English doesn't mean you would be a great Spanish interpreter or English interpreter.
That's correct. It's not just about whether you can conjugate your verbs, whether you know all your vocabularies, or whether you have passed a proficiency exam. Right. That doesn't determine whether you're going to be a good translator or interpreter. There are other skills necessary. In fact, as we see here, that line 29, it's actually considered a separate skill beyond knowing the language.
I think right off the top of my head, if I'm looking at an interpreter mm-hmm. who's doing simultaneous interpretation, that interpreter has to not just know the language, but he or she needs to have a very good knowledge of the gestures mm-hmm. from that culture mm-hmm. from which he or she's interpreting, because the body language adds so much in the communication that if they don't know anything about body language, they could be missing a lot of information.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are some people who are very good at getting the information out, but they just sound like one of those electronic dictionaries. They sound like a robot talking. Yeah. But then the very good ones are able to mimic the speaker and get that feeling across. And so, yeah, it really is a skill.
Yeah. I was sharing a little bit with Liz and Steve during the break that when I just finished college, I had tried out a job at a law office in New York, where I'm from, and it was kind of in a Chinese community, so a lot of the clients we dealt with were Chinese, mm-hmm. which I speak a little bit, but just because I knew a little bit of Chinese and I knew English did not mean I could work with the two, because there was just so much technical language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a chance that if I didn't translate or I didn't interpret something correctly, somebody could lose their house or they could lose something, and that was a lot of pressure.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Especially when so much money is involved.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we see, furthermore, line 31, the most successful translators and interpreters maintain a specialty. Thank you, Ellen, for mentioning your example there. Legal documents, quarterly earnings report, or an industry expertise. Quarterly earnings, Steve?
Yeah, that's the profit a company makes every 3 months, and you'll see that in business reports a lot, in the newspapers and magazines. What was the quarterly earning report for such and such company? It's a way to gauge the success of a company,
right?
See how they're doing.
Right. All these things require a lot of insider's information. Your trade, your field, there are special vocabulary words, and you need to be able to know how to use them. And sometimes it's not just knowing what those words are, but maybe there's a shorter way of saying it mm-hmm. if you are an insider. And are you savvy enough? Are you clever enough to be able to just use those quickly and appropriately as well? So it's not easy. Now, interestingly enough, line 35, technological advances, all right, technologically speaking, we're getting all kinds of really cool stuff now. And as a result, they have cut jobs in some industries, but online translation services like Google Translate actually raise demand for human translators and interpreters. Now, that's kind of strange.
it's the opposite of what you'd expect. You would expect that translation services would go down because we have this technology, but it's just the opposite. It's going up.
Right. So even though we do have machines and robots doing stuff for us nowadays, and because of that, a lot of jobs are no longer, well, they've been taken by these robots and computers. But we actually need more people involved to make sure that translation services and softwares are all done properly. And so that's why we have more people involved. An interesting comment was made by Clementi, in fact. And what did she say?
She says, even Google doesn't use Google Translate for their business documents, which I think some of us chuckled when we read that because it seems kind of ironic that this program that Google itself has created, they don't even use for important documents. But I think it emphasizes just how important translation or accurate or precise translation is to companies, and why this language industry is booming with this demand for these people.
That's right. And not only that, but also online sales, online shopping, which we talked about earlier, they need translators involved. And we see here in the end, because they have a presence everywhere and they're interacting with customers in their language, that really drives behind-the-scenes work in translation and localization. It's because of online shopping, and we're trying to make sure that the services is user-friendly. Shoppers are getting what they need, no matter what country they're in, no matter what language they speak. You know, they're getting the full service, and that's why we need these translators. So what do you think? Are you interested in this job?
No, thank you.
No, thank you, Steve. Okay. What about you, Ellen?
Not really. It seems like too much pressure.
All right. Yeah. Well, it is six figures, though. But what about you, listeners? Are you interested? Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. Let us know what you think about this article. Feel free to contact us again on our website and let us know what you think. That's all for today. Thanks for joining us here. I'm Liz.
I'm Steve.
I'm Ellen.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.